Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first quarterly All-In Payments call for 2023. My name is Catherine Jett, the TPM Project Coordinator and your moderator for today's call. Before we begin with our agenda and presentation, I would like to review a few logistics and housekeeping items. First, this meeting is being recorded and a transcription is being captured. Next slide, please. Please remain muted at all times during the call unless called upon by the facilitator. Please feel free to ask a question in the MS Teams chat section. If joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, raise your hand utilizing star 5 and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. Then press star 6 to unmute yourself. Please limit questions to one per participant per raised hand and do not duplicate questions. Additional questions or comments can be sent to EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Closed captioning is also available for participants who join using the MS Teams application, or you can utilize a separate closed caption link provided in the chat. To turn on closed captions in Teams, go to the three horizontal dots at the top of the MS Teams window, click on More Actions, and go down the list to turn on Live Captions. When using the link option, paste the link in the browser and it will open in a separate window to view closed captions. Thank you in advance for your participation. Today's quarterly All-In Payments call is scheduled for 60 minutes. Now to the agenda. On our agenda today, we have welcome, an announcement, end of year stats, 2023 trial work level, SGA blind SGA amounts, 2023 ticket payment rates, ePay file stats, ePay reminders, payment reminders, resources, and our Q&A. And at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce the TPM EM Payments Manager and your host for today's call, Kimberly Cutler. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you so much for joining, as Catherine said, our first all EM payments call of 2023. That's interesting to say that we're already in 2023, but welcome to today's call. First, want to go over an announcement. Some of you guys may have seen this already, but we did send out a Gov delivery message letting you all know that the 2023 payments resources are now available on our website. So that would be the 2023 payments at a glance, the 18-month look-back tool, and the monthly earnings estimator tool. Those are now all available on the Ticket to Work website, and you actually will be able to download that information in the resource document section of your Ticket to Work website. So again, if you haven't seen it already, we did send out that Gov delivery message, and you will be able to link over from that message to the resource section on the Ticket to Work website. I know on the last quarterly call, I think the All EN call, there were a lot of questions. You guys were excited and looking for the 2023 payments at a glance. So just want to let you know that information is now available. And if you have questions about your payment method, you know, when you go look at the resource documents, if you have any questions about your payment method, please reach out to the EN service team. And here on this slide, you actually can see that email address. So if you have questions about your payment method that you selected as an EN, you're going to reach out to enservice@ssa.gov. All right. So now we're going to move into our agenda topics, starting with the end of year stats. So for our 2022 end of year stats, actually total dollars amount paid was $127,223,310. And that again was paid. These are our end of year stats for 2022. Total payments that were made last year, 186,859 payments. And there were 84,317 denials. Of the denials, the most common denial reason that we see is the O2 denial, which is the beneficiary receiving federal cash benefits. And of course, we see that a lot when Ians are requesting for a milestone payment, or I'm sorry, they're requesting for an outcome payment, and the benefits, the beneficiary is still receiving a federal cash benefit. So that's the most common denial reason that we actually see, and that was the top denial reason in 2022. We also, we let you guys know that, of course, the 2023 payments at a glance is now available. Also wanted to provide the 2023 trial work level and substantial gainful activity amounts. So for 2023, the TWL amount is $1,050. The SGA, or substantial gainful activity amount, is $1,470, and that's for non-blind. For blind beneficiaries, the SGA for 2023 is $2,460. So that information, we just want to make sure that you have that as well. That is your 2023 trial work level and substantial gainful activity amounts. So we have a lot of information for you on today's call. So we wanted to provide the 2023 ticket payment rates. And of course, you will be able to see this information on the payments at a glance, right? But if you are under the milestone outcome method for payments, then for SSI payments to you as an EN, once your beneficiary reaches a certain milestone, then for SSI payments, for phase one milestones, $1,645. Phase two milestones, $277. And outcomes is $277 as well. If you are serving as a SSDI beneficiary, then the payment to you as an EN once they reach certain milestones, for phase one milestones would be the same as phase one. So it's $1,645. For phase two milestones, it's $493. And for outcomes for SSDI payments, it's $493. Now, if you selected your payment method as an EN for the outcome only method, then for SSI, your payments would be $516. And for SSDI, it's $918. And again, you will be able to see this information and how it breaks down on the payments at a glance, but we just wanted to make sure you have this available as well. So now that we've given you all the rates for 2023, we want to go into the ePay file stats. Of course, this is a quarterly file that we receive from SSA, and SSA and TPM staff, we actually process the ePay file. So the last ePay file was completed in December of 2022. And we wanted to just provide some stats from that last ePay file. And so for processing totals, so there were over 13,000 total claims that were processed, 4,294 SSNs that were processed. And for that last ePay file that we completed in December, we paid out over $7 million. So again, each quarter, once we complete the ePay file, we like to show you guys, the results of that ePay file. And so this was from the last file. And just want to note, too, that we actually, TPM started processing the January file actually yesterday. So you should have seen a note in the portal alerting you of the fact that we did start processing our first file of 2023, and that started yesterday. So, of course, now that we are processing the ePay file, we always like to provide the reminders, right, for processing ePay. So just remember that phase one milestones four, they are paid via ePay, but, if it's available to your EN, but ENs must still submit payment requests for phase one milestones one through three through the ticket portal. And please remember, when you're requesting phase one's milestone one through three, that you must provide your proof of relationship. So also, unassigned tickets are not included on the ePay file. ENs must have passed their annual service and support reviews. And the ePay file is processed in SSN order and not provider ID or PID. And we always want to mention that, because we do get some questions from ENs, because once we start processing the ePay file, you may see that you're getting a lot of payments, and then it kind of, you're not getting as many, and then it picks back up. And that's because we're not processing it based on PID. We are processing based on SSN. Now, please remember, guys, and you've done an amazing job since we made this announcement about the ePay file. But again, phase one milestone four, phase two milestones and outcomes are paid via ePay, right? So you guys are encouraged not to submit for those payment types via the portal when we're processing the EN portion of the ePay file. And submitting for such payments, it actually slows us down because it causes a duplicate months, because we are going to, remember, phase one milestone four, phase two milestones and outcomes, we're going to use the information that's available to us in SSA's database, and we're going to make those payments for you. And so we do ask that, you know, let the ePay file take its course. And as I mentioned before, there, we will place a note in the portal that we started processing the file, the EN tab. And then once we've completed the EN tab, we will also post that information in the portal as well. So we just encourage you to let us process those payments rather than you're submitting them through the portal. Now, if you do submit such payment, phase one milestone for phase two milestone or outcomes during ePay, that SSN will not be processed until it comes up on the ePay file. So just let it take its course with those types of cases. And so that's why we just wanted to really just add that as a note. And I will say this, thank you, because we announced this and encouraged this, I think, a couple of ePay files ago, and we actually were able to see a difference, because we are processing, when we do have the ePay file, we are still processing portal submitted claims, right? So I don't want you guys to think that if, you know, oh, everything stops because we're processing ePay, but we do have dedicated staff that process portal claims and ePay claims at the same time. So please make sure that you guys know that. So we just wanted to kind of put that out there as well. All right, I'm going to move on to my next slide with the continuation of the ePay reminders. Please note that PII violations will remove you or remove your EN from the ePay file for 3 months or one ePay file. So now during this time, if there is a PII violation and your EN, if you are removed from the next ePay file or for one quarter, 3 months, then you will have to submit all of your payment requests through the portal. So your phase one milestones one through four, phase twos and outcomes will all have to come through the portal for payment request. And you may ask, okay, Kim, so when you say remove for 3 months or what, or for one ePay file, what do you mean? So if an EN violates the PII rule while the file is currently being processed, so let's say, like right now, we've started the ePay file in January, right? So let's say that your EN has a PII violation in February. You're already on the start of this EN, right? So we will finish that this ePay file. So you're already there. So, but you will be removed from the next ePay file, right? So the ePay files are, like we said, they're quarterly. We process an ePay file each quarter. So the example I gave, we've already started our January file. So if there's a PII violation, then your EN will be removed from the next file, which will run in April. So that's the example we just wanted to provide. So just remember, guys, please do not email any personal identifiable information. If you have questions about a payment request or a denial, please, you can email the help desk using your work case number or the SSA reference number from the portal. But please do not email any PII. You cannot attach it. It cannot be in the body of the email. Just please make sure. All right. So now what we have is we're moving on to just provide you guys with just some friendly reminders, right, when you're requesting payments. So just remember that EN shall request a payment no later than 24 months following the month the ticket holder's work and earnings meet the criteria for SSA to make the payment. So as soon as you have that information available, please make sure you are requesting it, because we do have an age claim rule, right? And so if you're requesting a claim month that's outside of the 24-month window from when they actually earn the money, then your case will be denied. So please make sure you're very mindful of that. And just please note, you know, phase one milestones 1 through 4, there are exclusions when requesting those payments. So of course, if phase one milestones 1 through 4 are not available, if the state vocational rehabilitation agency or the VR received a cost reimbursement payment. If the state VR received the cost reimbursement payment for that ticket holder, then that will exclude all of the phase one milestones. And you as an EN, of course, we encourage you to still keep, you know, you can still assign the ticket, still receive payment, but your agency would start with your phase twos and eventually move into your outcome payments. But phase one milestones 4 will be off the table. They're also not available if the vocational rehabilitation agency successfully closed a case within 18 months prior to ticket assignment to your EN. So two things that involves the VR, right? If the VR received a cost reimbursement payment, or if the VR closed a case successfully within 18 months prior to you as an EN assigning the ticket. So those are two things that will remove your phase one milestones 1 through 4 VR related. Also, earnings at or above trial work level that are found within 18 months prior to ticket assignment date. The difference with that, if there's VR involvement, right, cost reimbursement payment or successful closure within 18 months, that excludes all of the phase one milestones from an EN, from payment. When it comes to earnings, we look at a 18-month period of earnings. And so if there are prior earnings within an 18-month period, those earnings, depending on when the ticket holder actually earned the money, could exclude, you know, it could exclude all or some of your payments. And I'm pretty sure you guys have seen that, right? When you submit payment, you may have their prior earnings. So phase one milestones 1 and 2 may be excluded because of the window of time within that 18 months where the earnings of the ticket holder actually had those earnings. So it may exclude you from phase one milestones 1 and 2, but then you would be able to get phase one milestones 3 and 4, right? As long as they meet the earnings requirement. So just wanted to kind of explain the difference. And just know, if you, as an EN, if you request payment for phase one milestone 1, right, we will do our due diligence. We will complete an 18-month look back tool based on either or a combination of earnings that you guys send in, pay stubs or whatever your, you know, the work number, employee prepared earnings statement. We will use that. Also, we would use the earnings information that's available to us in SSA's database. We will use all of that information. And once we complete the 18-month look back, if your EN, if you are not entitled or eligible to receive 1, 2, 3, or 4 of the phase one milestones, we will go in and deny those milestones. So if you may only request the phase one milestone 1, but again, we're going to do our look back based on the earnings we have available, right? And it may show that you are not available for any of them, then we will create those cases and deny them. That just prevents you as an EN from having to, oh, my phase one milestone 1 was denied. Well, can I get phase one milestone 2? Let me go ahead and submit it. We are proactively using that information, any type of exclusions, we're using that information to address all of your phase ones because payments must be made in order. So if you see that if you request for a phase one milestone 1 and it's denied, and you do not see that phase one milestone 2, 3, or 4 are denied, then you would go ahead and request for your phase one milestone 2. If it's denied based on an exclusion, let me just say that. And of course, you can see your denials in the portal, so you would know exactly what the denial reason is for. But just want to make sure that you guys know that that we do perform an 18-month look back of the earnings that we have available. Okay, one other thing I wanted to mention as far as a reminder is when there are multiple ticket assignments to different ENs, the 18-month look back tool is based on the first ticket assignment date. So we did have some ENs with questions about that, right? So if the ticket is assigned to ABC EN and then EFG gets the ticket, then we're gonna do our 18-month look back tool, right? Because if we're still in the phase one milestone 1 period, we're going to base our look back date when we start looking back from the very first ticket assignment date. So just wanted you guys to know, so I know that some ENs may say, hey, I know I'm not entitled to get phase one milestone two because I have prior earnings, right? But it's earnings prior to right when they assigned a ticket. But we're going to look at the ticket assignment date from the first time the ticket was assigned, right? So just want to put that as a reminder. And also, ENs must provide proof of relationship with the ticket holder when requesting payment for phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three. And I know we've mentioned this a few times, but just really want you guys to know that when you are requesting for phase one milestones one through three, please make sure that you are, when you're requesting those payments, that you are submitting your proof of relationship. So your proof of relationship can be established if you're submitting pay stubs. Pay stubs, they are a standalone. So if you're requesting payment for phase one milestone one through three, and you're submitting your pay stubs, that is your proof because you have a relationship with the client. You're contacting them, you're talking to them because you were able to get their pay stubs. So that's your proof, right? So you can use pay stubs or you can use a completed proof of relationship form, also known as a POR form, right? So if you're submitting evidence of earnings for using the work number, employee prepared earnings statement, then you want to send that in. That will satisfy your earnings. So we will look at that to see if it satisfies your earnings. But then you also need to send in a completed proof of relationship form or POR. So please make sure that you guys are doing that. And ENs will have three opportunities to provide the required proof of relationship for the requested milestone period before the ticket is unassigned. So again, guys, you know, we do have the denial reasons, right? If you're not providing proof of relationship, then we have a denial reason. You will be able to see that in the portal for denial. And if we deny that case, you know, you'll have three times to show us the proof. And then if you're unable to establish proof of relationship, then that ticket will be unassigned because payments must be made in order. So if you're requesting a phase one milestone one payment, but you are unable to establish proof of relationship with that ticket holder, then we're not able to say, oh, well, they can't show proof for phase one milestone one. Let's move to phase one milestone two. Payments must be made in order. And if you are unable to establish proof of relationship, you will have three times of submitting a request and then that ticket will be unassigned. Also, next reminder, once a ticket holder enters the outcome period, which means no longer receiving a federal cash benefit, then phase one milestones and phase two milestones are no longer available. Any missed milestones will be picked up at reconciliation once the EN receives the 12th outcome payment. And I should have said any missed available milestone payments. So again, just want to make a note, you know, you may receive phase one milestone one and two, right? And then the benefits go into suspense because you're doing such a good job with your services provided, the ticket holder's working. And so the benefits go into suspense due to worker earnings. So they're no longer receiving a federal cash benefit. Now, as long as they're meeting the earnings requirement of SGA, then your EN will be able to receive outcome payments. Once your EN receives the 12th outcome payment, any phase one milestones or phase two milestones that were missed, you will receive those in a reconciliation payment. And I wanted to mention, you know, that it's available. So if your phase one milestones ones were excluded because of prior earnings using a look back to or VR involvement, then they're excluded. They're always off the table. So those would not be picked up in reconciliation payments. It's only the milestones and phase twos that you were eligible for, right? There were no exclusions, but benefits went into suspense. Because once they go into suspense, we cannot go back and pay them through a regular payment request, but they will be picked up after a 12th outcome payment has been made to the EN. Right. So one last reminder here is when an outreach, we have an amazing payments help desk, right? I know you guys are familiar with them. You can contact them via phone or you can email them. When the payment technicians, when we are in need of additional information, right, before we can make a payment, we will perform an outreach via email to the EN for additional information. When we send that outreach to you guys for that additional information, ENs must provide the required information within 9 business days of receipt of the email, or the case will be denied. And then once it's denied, you know, you would have to resubmit your payment request again. So please just be very mindful of the outreach emails that come through. When the help desk sends out an outreach email, it provides you with the information that we need. We will place that case in what we call a diary status while we are waiting those 9 business days for you to send that information in. Of course, if you have it, send it right away, and then we will go address the case. But if we do not receive that information within 9 business days, then your case will be denied. And of course, I encourage you to look at your denial reasons, because you will be able to see why it was denied. Please make sure that your contact information is current, that whoever in your organization is responsible for payments and should, you know, have this as one of their tasks to know and be ready to respond to such requests. Please make sure we have that updated information on file so that the emails are getting to the right person and we can get that requested information, and so that we can process your case through completion. Okay, so those were the reminders that, you know, just a few things we wanted to just kind of cover. It's the first of the year. You know, we process payments. Sometimes we have changes in some stuff. You know, it kind of just remains. So we just want to kind of put that back in the forefront of your mind and just making sure you remember those things. Because, of course, when you submit payment requests, we want to have all of the information. We want to be able to process that case right through. We don't necessarily want to have to place the case in diary status. We want to go ahead or deny it. We want to go ahead and process it through. So we just want to give you a few of those reminders. And of course, when we started out the call today, we had our agenda topics, but we would like to invite you to share topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. So again, if you have a payment related topic that you would like for us to discuss in this forum, please send your topics to the EN Payments Help Desk. You can see here, you can send that to EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. But again, we would love to hear from you and what topics you would like for us to cover. And as always, we want to provide the resources that you have available to you. I did mention earlier about the amazing help desk that we have. So you do have the resources available Monday through Friday. Here on the screen, you can see the different phone number and different options. You can also email payment issues, and you have your email address there. If you have questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, or the ticket portal, you can also contact the help desk there. Please remember, again, when sending in your emails to the help desk, you are not sending any PII. You are making sure that use your SSA reference number, your work case number, and we will be able to look that information up using that number, or you can also pick up and call. But when emailing, please do not send any PII. And with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Catherine so that we can open up for questions and answers. Catherine?
Thank you, Kim, for those very informative updates. We will now transition to the open Q&A period. As a reminder, to ask a question over the phone, please raise your hand on Teams by dialing *5. And when you're called on, you will be unmuted by the facilitator, and then press *6 to unmute yourself. For participants joining on the Teams application, there's an icon at the very top of the screen, middle of the screen. You can just raise your hand, and you're going to identify yourself by name, and please limit your questions to one per raised hand. At this time, we will ask our facilitator, Keitra, to help us identify our first participant with their hand raised. Keitra?
At this time, I'm not seeing any hands raised.
Oh, okay. We will go to Janelle for questions from the chat.
Hello, Catherine. So we do have a few questions in chat. One question is from Wendy Zorman. When do ticket holders get their status updated to the proper payment milestone or phase on the SSA website? Many of my clients seem incorrect. And Wendy, If you'd like to clarify or the question is not clear, then you can raise your hand to speak as well.
Thanks, Janelle. And I'm not sure when she says, you know, when does it get updated? I know in the portal they can check for payments made to me. So I'm not sure if that's a question. So thank you for, you know, asking Wendy to kind of raise her hand so we can make sure. But if she's talking about when you're looking at payments, you know, what phase or where you are, if you look at payments already made to your EN, I think there she will be able to see what has been paid, and then using the payments at a glance, if she needs, she would know what to request next. If that wasn't clear, Wendy, if that's not what you're looking for, please, as Janelle said, please raise your hand so that we can make sure to get your answer, your question answered. Thanks, Janelle. You said you had a couple, Janelle?
Yes, I do. Thank you. So the next question comes from Sandra Alfaro, and I apologize if I'm saying your name incorrectly, but Sandra's question, are there payment guidelines for EN with two business models? And then she said traditional EN and employer EN. For instance, occasionally we assign people to the traditional EN. If Goodwill employs the person, then we are required to transfer to the employer EN. However, sometimes we have issues with the payment request due to the assignment date.
That's a very good question. And I would just encourage when we start talking about business models, I would encourage the EN to reach out to EN operations and talk about the different business models, because that's kind of on the back end. Of course, when it comes to payments, when we get a request for a payment, we're looking at who the ticket is assigned to at the time, and then we're processing that accordingly. But if it's something on the back end, how they're working it out, then I would just say reach out to EN operations to talk about the different models that they have and kind of work out how and who would submit for payment. But when it comes to us, you know, when it comes to requesting payments, we just, again, look at who's requesting the payment and look to see who the ticket is assigned to, if they're, you know, eligible for payment and move forward. So I would suggest that they at least reach out to EN operations for some type of clarification on that.
Thank you, Kim. So we do have another question from Kim Gonzalez. Are there any exceptions for a workforce EN not to have to submit POR? And then she says stubs or the form for P1M1 through P1M3.
So for Workforce Investment Board, right, Janelle?
For a workforce EN.
That's right. So workforce ENs, we do pick up payments for you guys on the ePay file. And for your agency's trusted partner, we do process phase one. We process all available payments. So you should see those come through when we start processing the ePay file. So yeah, workforce ENs do not have to request through the portal. We do pick up all payment types through the ePay file.
Thank you, Janelle. They are
a trusted partner.
Thank you, Kim.
All right, thanks, Janelle.
We have a few questions. Kim, with her hands raised. Keitra, can you identify?
Yes, our first hand is raised with Casey. Casey, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. And you actually have the ability to open your camera as well, if you like. But you can go ahead and ask your question, please.
Hi, ladies. My question is, and on it was kind of on the first slide there, with the statistic of code 2 being the most common denial reason, is there a specific plan in place for SSA to update the portal in a more timely manner? That's what we're seeing most of the time, is the portal showing that yes, you know, or no, they are not in pay status, and we're still being denied months and months later. We do, you know, SSA conference calls to try to get their pay status corrected. We do a lot of things like that, send in their 821s. But there does seem to be a little bit of a disconnect on the code 2s being denied for several months in a row when they're showing not in pay status.
All right, thanks, Casey. And I'm not sure, I think, Katie, we have someone from SSA on the line, but I do know that the portal is real time. It's based on information as it's entered. And there's Katie, so I'll pass it over to someone that can
give
you a
keep going. You have the answer.
So they can give a complete answer. Thanks, Katie, for joining.
Yeah, so the portal is real time. It is, you know, capturing the and what our staff use to process payments also, right, is real time. We look at SSA systems. I'm not sure what you're looking at to determine if something's in current pay or not in current pay before you submit the payment request. But, you know,
the portal.
When
SSA
you're
portal.
So you can't use that. You can't use that. You're talking about the boxes.
I'm talking about the SSA portal that shows that they are in current pay status and not in current pay status.
Yeah, that box, you cannot rely on that box. We actually have been trying to get that box removed because that box, yeah, you can't rely on that box. The ultimate real-time decision is, you know, when it comes over here and we look at it to make your payment request. You know, when we review your payment, the status at the time we look at it is what we use, no matter what the portal said at the time. So even if you were using, you know, you were going to try to submit that as evidence, we can't use it. We look in your system, the system in real time. Does that help?
No. So how do we see that? How do we see what you're seeing? Because why would
you can't, right? You can't see what we see. You know, we can't give you that kind of beneficiary PII. It is not something that we share with you in that, you know, in the portal. The portal is not supposed to be giving that kind of detailed level information.
Okay,
so that's where, and I will go on my, I think we haven't said this in a while, Kim. I mean, you know, if your ticket holder is already in outcome status, you know, that's where we do encourage you, if you have the ability, to rely on ePay, because we will make all available outcome payments based on what's in our system, right? We will pay the outcome when everything matches up in the system. Their earnings are there and the payment status is correct. You know, if you're finding that you go in each month and request the same outcome and you get the same thing, you know, still in current pay, you know, if you wait for ePay, you will see that we will make it as soon as it's available in the next ePay file, because we do ePay quarterly. So yeah, so if you are just going to submit it, you know, not knowing their status, you know, there is the chance that you will get that denial.
Okay. That leads me to really quick question. If we request three in a row, then the ticket's unassigned. Or that's only for if we're not providing proof of earnings and it's denied three times in a row. Is that right?
That is in the phase one milestone. Like I said, I was talking about the outcome phase, right? You've already received an outcome payment, right? And you're trying to like figure out when the next outcome is available, right? You know they're earning SGA, but the record doesn't match. What we're talking about unassigning it is for that phase one milestone phase. Phase one milestones 1, 2, and 3, that's where you need to submit the proof of relationship. Those, they are in current pay.
Okay.
So we're talking about two different payment statuses. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. There's really no way for us to see in real time if they are in current pay.
No, there's not.
Mm-mm. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
I hope I at least made some of your pain points like a little clearer, you know, that you thought you had some information that you didn't. I hope that helps a little bit.
And I think too, Kate, if I could add, when you said there's no way of knowing if they're in current pay, I think I'm going to loop that back round to proof of relationship, right? If you're in meeting with your client, your ticket holder, talking to your ticket holder, those are things, you know, hey, are you receiving your check? Are you receiving a check? That may be a way to just confirm, I think, if they're still in current pay when it comes to, you know, when you're requesting payment. Just a thought.
Thank you,
Katie. All right. Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Ken.
Petra, do we have anyone else?
Yes, we do. We have Barbara Beaumont. Your line is now open for you to go ahead and ask your question. You can unmute yourself. Barbara, you would now need to unmute yourself to ask your question aloud.
Barbara, if you'll click the microphone up top, it'll be up the top right. Click on that to unmute. Hey, while we're waiting on Barbara, Keitra?
Yes, next we have a question from Sandra Abbott. Sandra, you're now able to ask your question. Please unmute yourself.
Hi, Sandra. If you'll click your microphone up top and just unmute, you are unmuted. Okay, while Sandra is unmuting, Keitra, do we have anyone else with their hands raised?
Yes, we do. Casey Hunter. You are now able to go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Yeah, it's Carrie, but yes.
Carrie, sorry.
Not a problem. So I have been having to submit my payment requests manually because I'm a new EN and I haven't accrued 10 ticket holders, all that stuff. And I've been having issues with one, being able to, sometimes I guess my payment requests aren't received. So I feel like I've been annoying the heck out of them, asking every time I submit a request, was it received? And then there's times where I get confirmation that it was received, but then I get to that 30-day period where it still isn't showing up as pending in the portal. And I call to find out what's going on and they can't find it, or I'm being told it hasn't been received. And I tell them, I've received confirmation that it was received, and then they look into it further and they'll say, oh yeah, it hasn't been assigned to anyone yet. Well, we'll send it to a manager and get that processed. I just feel like I'm having to like stay on top of every single step of that. And I'm wondering if I'm doing something wrong or if that's an issue or just the way that it is on y'all's end. I've just had a lot of issues with that almost consistently every payment request.
Hi, so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. I was hearing the echo. Yeah, so that may be an isolated incident because once, so you're sending in your payments manually, right? So you're faxing, you're mailing them or faxing them, right, Carrie?
Faxing them. Yeah, I fax them and then I'm having to follow up right after saying, was it received? Sometimes they'll say, no, it wasn't received, so I'll resend them. But there's been times where I go almost 30 days waiting for it to hit the portal and I'm not seeing anything. So I contact them and they'll say, no, it wasn't received. And then I have to resubmit it and wait another 30 days for that. Or I'll get confirmation that, yes, it was received, but then it's coming up on that 30-day period where it's still not showing up as even pending in the portal, and I'll be told it hasn't been received. And I'll say, well, I received confirmation that it was received, and then they'll have to look into it further and then find it somewhere, I guess, that it was received. It just seems like there's some disconnect there, and like I said, it's happening enough that it's become an issue to the point where I feel like they're getting annoyed by me contacting them at every step of the way and having to find out what's going on with my payments and why they're not being processed or whatever the case is.
Okay. And Janelle, I see you wanted to say, go ahead.
Yes. So our provider help desk manager, she did have to step away from the call. So my apologies. I know she would address this directly with you, Carrie. I'll make sure that I'm the ticket operations manager. I'm going to make sure that I look into this for you. If there's some sort of business process breakdown, then it's something that I want to look into immediately. But first and foremost, I want to let you know that they are never annoyed to assist you. So call as many times as you need to call to make sure that we can get things remedied for you. Please do so. But I'll make sure after the call that I'll look into this with Sharday Jenkins, who's the manager, and we'll try to work on some sort of mitigation for you because that it's definitely a process breakdown. We do make sure that we process all faxes within 24 hours. So that's very concerning for me. But thank you for reaching out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Janelle.
Thank you. Thank you, Carrie. Keitra? Do we have any more raised hands?
Yes, we do. We have Mary Lynn Rivore. You are now able to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Good afternoon. This is Mary Lynn with the American Dream Employment Network. It's not necessarily a question, but Kim, when the comment was made about the that history that you have for whether they're in cash pay status or not, and maybe that would go away. I think there was quite a few comments in the chat as well. I just would like for maybe consideration be given to not remove that. I do think most of the time it seems to be correct and it's very helpful from the EN standpoint. And for your team, you might get a lot more requests that are going to be time consuming for you because of not having that information that we can see. So I just wanted to voice that concern if you remove that part from the portal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lynn.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. Petra, do we have any more hands raised?
Yes, we do. We have Sonia Harrison. You can now unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thank you so much. Thanks, you guys. My name is Sonia Harrison with Maryland New Directions. My question is, if you are denied when you're putting your pay stubs into the portal, and it says it's due to the milestones, does that mean I need to re-enter the payments for a previous milestone? Am I going too far ahead of myself in the milestones and that's why I'm being denied payment?
Hey, Sonia, I think I would have to know exactly what the denial reason is. So if you're requesting, say, a phase one milestone two, is the denial that payments must be made in order? Is that what you're getting?
Yes.
Right. So, yes. So we have to pay. We have to make the payments in order. Right. So if you're requesting a phase one milestone two and phase one milestone one has not been addressed yet, which means if it's not been excluded due to VR involvement or prior earnings, then yes, you have to request your phase one milestone one. And what I mentioned earlier, we talked about the 18-month look back tool. Right. So if you request for phase one milestone one, we're going to do a look back tool. So if you can get it, if you can get phase one milestone one, we'll process it accordingly. But if you're not eligible for that or any of the milestones, we will deny them. But if you're just, if your first payment is a phase one milestone two, and we have not addressed that phase one milestone one, then yes, your case will be denied. So you want to make sure you go in order. The payments at a glance is a great resource to show you, you know, the order that you would go in, right? Your phase one milestone one, your phase one milestone two, phase one milestone three and four. And that order will only change up if there is an exclusion. So that's what that denial is that your the payment prior to the one that you're requesting was not addressed.
And will I have to resubmit the payments?
Yes. If you are asking for, and I'm just using this example, if you are asking for phase one milestone two, and you have not requested phase one milestone one, then yes, you're going to need to request the first payment.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sonia. Teacher, do we have our next participant with a question?
Yes, we have Sandra Abbott. You are now able to unmute yourself and ask your question. Sandra, again, you've been promoted to be able to unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question aloud.
We can hear you, Sandra. You are unmuted. Okay. Keetra, do we have anyone else with their hands raised?
We do not have any other raised hands at this time.
Right. Well, on behalf of SSA and the Ticket Program Manager, I'd like to thank our presenters and everyone attending today for this informative and interactive session. Recap, PowerPoint presentation, and audio from today's call will be available very soon on the Ticket to Work website. Now, looking ahead, we will have the next call Next OEM payments call, April 25th, 2023, from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you again for attending and have a good rest of your day. This concludes all. Yes, ma'am.
We actually had two people that just raised their hand. I know we have about 5 minutes. Do we have time to take those two or?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. The first question or hand raised is from Linda Benedict. You are now able to unmute yourself and ask your question.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. We are a workforce board, and we just recently got permission to get our payments via e-payments, excuse me. And we have we were trying to use the portal. There's a lot of denials for various reasons, like out of order or didn't have the POR form. Do I need to go back and correct all those?
If you are eligible for ePay, and like I said, we just started the ePay file this week. So any of your missed payments or any payments that are available to you, we should pick those up on this current ePay file. And you said you, Linda, I think that was your name. Sorry. You said you guys were just approved to be on ePay. Was that what you said?
Yes, we were just approved. I don't know why we've been doing this for 3 years, but we didn't realize we could be pay. So we submitted a request and got an email that we would be on ePay last week. So,
okay.
And I didn't know if I had to go back and work through all those errors.
Oh, not at all. ePay will take its course. And like I said, we will make a note in the portal when we're processing ePay. So we do ask that you just be patient, right? Because you are workforce. And so when we start processing those cases, you'll start to see payments. If you have available payments, then we'll start making those payments to your end. And we usually take, I don't really like to say how long, but it could take a couple of months. So just, you know, if you do not start to see something within the next month, I would say, then please reach out. But if you guys are ePay eligible, then we will make all available payments based on the information we have in SSA system.
I want to thank you for this this very informative seminar. So thank you very much. You answered so many of my questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. Teacher, do we have another individual with a question?
Yes, we do. Anthony, you are now able to unmute yourself and ask your question. Again, Anthony, if you could go ahead and unmute yourself at this time. The microphone option is at the top right next to leave. So again, you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
Okay. Do we have any other participants with questions, Keitra?
We do. We have Heather Miller. Heather, you can now unmute yourself and ask your question.
Okay, thanks. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This is in regards to when I'm submitting some of the phase one payments. If I know that my client is not going to be eligible for some of the payments and I have those previous pay stubs, I will typically attach them to my pay request so that it can be seen that there are trial work level earnings before ticket assignment that will exclude some of those. It's about a 50-50 miss, though, that they get caught. And half the time they'll get denied and I have to resubmit it. Is there something special that we can do to call that out so that gets caught the first time around? Because I'm providing proof that we're not due something.
Right. Hi, Heather. Thanks.
Yep.
So you and I think I've talked about it. And what happens is, I don't want to just narrow it down, but a lot of times what we see is just that where there was a prior assignment, right? And so you're submitting your earnings information, and thank you, right? We appreciate that. Yeah. But what we're doing is we're looking at the entire history of the ticket. And if there was a previous assignment or prior assignment, then we use that ticket assignment date for exclusion of earnings. So that may be what you're seeing. And that's why we wanted to add that as a reminder, just because I don't think a lot of ENs know that. But that's what it's based on. So if you assign the ticket, say January, and you have December earnings, right? So you're like, oh, let me send this in because I know we can't get phase one milestone one because it was 1 month prior to assignment. If there was another assignment, then we're going to do an 18-month look back based on that. So the earnings that you're sending for the month prior to you would not factor into the 18-month look back too.
Right. And we do understand that now. And I'm glad you brought that up because I did not know that after all my years in this program. But for the ones that have no previous assignment, mm-hmm. should we just put a big note on there that says, hey, please deny phase one milestone one. Here are the pay stubs to show you we're not due that.
You know, you can always make a note. We appreciate the note. But yeah, we will make sure that we're doing our due diligence. So any information that comes in with the payment request, any type of earnings information that comes in, we're going to enter that information. So yes, it's always very helpful that if you have up-to-date information, right, because it may be something that was not reported to the field office just yet, so they may not have it. So yes, please, when you're requesting a payment, phase ones, please send in earnings information that you have so that we can enter it into the system, because we will use that information, you know, from your pay stubs. We can use that in populating the 18-month look back, and that will help, you know, if there are to be some exclusions. So yes, please continue to send that in, Heather, if you have that.
Thanks, Kimberly.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Petra?
Yes.
Any more participants with their hands raised?
Yes, we do. We have Sandra Abbott. She came back in, so we're going to try to get her to unmute her mic. And Sandra, you can go ahead now and unmute yourself and ask your question. Again, there you go. You're unmuted now.
We can barely hear you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
I can't either, just a little bit louder.
Sandra, do you possibly have on a headset and the mic is up?
Okay. Well, we can go to the next participant.
Yes, that's Natalie Harrison. You now can unmute yourself and ask your question.
Good afternoon, ladies. My question is regarding pay stubs. I remember it was said not to allow or discourage beneficiaries from bringing actual pay stubs to the field office. Are they able to resume doing that or no?
I don't know if Katie's still here. Natalie, I did not see anything where mentioning that they could resume, but I'll ask, I don't know if Katie, if you're still on, have you received any updated information to the previous instructions about pay stubs to the field office?
No, I'm not aware of any updated guidance.
So still discouraged.
Well, the message that we sent in, right, was about employment networks submitting pay stubs to the field office. So that stands.
Okay. So can you just clarify that? Just kind of repeat that statement so that I can fully understand. Because what I've been doing is beneficiaries are saying they want to submit paper stubs to the field office. And from my understanding of the email that came out, it's kind of inundating the team and they're not able to keep up with the papers. So I've been telling them to try to set up their mysSA.gov accounts and, you know, report them to us. We can submit for them. But what is the actual rule right now?
So the message was about, right, employment networks. So we discouraged employment networks, right, submitting pay stubs to the field office on behalf of their ticket holders. We encouraged ENs to reach out to their ticket holders and, like you're doing, try to encourage them to make MySSA accounts or to use the phone. So It was a gov delivery that I'm assuming you read because it sounds like you knew part of it. So we gave you other, you know, ways, right, to report that would be more timely. Sorry, I'm trying to think through the message in my head because I don't have it in front of me. Kim Jomit, like I feel like I was trying to say a third part. But ENs, by providing pay stubs to SSA through the Ticket to Work program, right? Mm-hmm. When you submit pay stubs as part of your proof of relationship or just with your payment request, if you submit pay stubs to us through that method, through the Ticket to Work program, then you do not need to and should not be sending those pay stubs. Now, beneficiaries should, right? But you should not, EN should not be reaching out to the field office because that's the duplication that we were trying to avoid, is that you're sending, you know, the Ticket to Work program pay stubs, right, as proof of relationship or to assist in a payment, right, because you have earnings that you have in your hand that we don't have in our system yet. You know, by submitting that to us, you then do not need, the EN does not need to submit those then to Social Security. And then we encouraged you to get your ticket holders into MySSA.
Okay.
Did I get it, all of it, Cam?
Yeah, I actually pulled
like
it up.
Like, it's the best I could, like, my memory.
That was really good. Yeah, so I did pull it up. And that's exactly right, Katie. It's just that we do not want employment networks to send or take the beneficiary pay stubs. And you're exactly right. We want to encourage them different methods for reporting wages, which is a MySSA account, you know, which is the mobile wage reporting smartphone app. And then there's, or by calling. So that's exactly right. Which is, we encouraged ENs not to submit, but it is the responsibility of the ticket holder to report that information. So yeah,
they can still send drop off paper stubs then. Even though we want to kind of guide them toward the other formats, they can still do paper stubs.
I said, unless they have some kind of guidance that they've received from their own local field office, right, as a whole, you know, like speaking for the Ticket to Work program as a whole, right, the guidance that we have is that it is the beneficiary's responsibility to report their earnings. And ENs, you know, we ask you to help them and support them in doing that. If they have something specific, like I said you had something about not reporting the pay stubs. I am not aware of anything. Like I said, you know, the guidance we sent out, the gov delivery was about EN.
Yeah.
Submitting pay stubs.
Right. Because it does state, it was just, there was an increase in in-person visits. So ticket holders were going in. So they just didn't want that, you know, the EN sending all of the paper pay stubs because it just didn't have the capacity. So you were right, Katie. So that hasn't changed.
Thank you.
All right. So Catherine, I think we can.
Thank you, Natalie. Exactly. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Katie. And looking ahead, we will have the next OEM payments call April 25th, 2023 from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you again for attending and have a good rest of your day. This concludes the OEM payments call.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.